Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snape was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They killed old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiled movie reviews.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Blackout Tip Premium Podcast Network. I am your host, Rod, joined as always by myself. That's right, it's by myself. It's the end of the year recap roundup of a bunch of movies. You're getting short reviews with just me giving you the down and dirty for what I'm seeing in this award season. Today's movie is for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, don't care about spoilers because I spoiled the movie, and it's Rustin, which I saw on Netflix, which you can see on Netflix as well. It is starring Coleman Domingo as Bayard Rustin. Activist Bayard Rustin faces racism and homophobia as he helps change the course of civil rights history by orchestrating the 1963 March on Washington. All right, we'll talk about what we like, what we didn't like, score from 0 to 5. All right, so let's talk about what we liked. Obviously, Coleman Domingo is great in everything. He was great as Bayard Rustin in this film. It actually feels like it was made for stage. So I don't know if Rustin is based on a play or something that got made into a movie, but if it gives based on a play that was made into a movie. But, you know, he's always chewing up the scenery in everything he does. And this is no different. It's, you know, the cast is a pretty extensive cast. Chris Rock, Glenn Turman, Michael Pye, CCH Pounder, Audrey McDonald, Jeffrey Wright as Adam Clayton Powell, who fucking stole the show. I want an Adam Clayton Powell biopic starring Jeffrey Wright because I still remember reading his autobiography, and goddamn, Adam Clayton Powell was a fool. Jeffrey Wright played the shit out of that role. Real scene stealer, and I wish he had got more time in this movie. It's directed by George C. Wolfe. Written by Julian Breese and Dustin Lance Black. Once again, like I said, that was good. I really think they nailed the homophobia of the time, and how nonsensical and how hypocritical it was of Black people demanding freedom, and yet at the same time demanding that, you know, gay people stay in the closet or just don't be gay. And while things like that may feel cliche and rote, like, oh, we've covered this before, I felt like it was covered a little bit differently in this, because you typically see those movements sold separately in a lot of fiction. Like, they may touch on it a little bit, but this was the crux of this film. And it was important because there were also a lot of people that just did not care. The only thing missing was, like, somebody that truly... Well, no, they kind of had that. I would say Chris Rock's character was homophobic, but also, like, some of it was tied up in his conservative NAACP version of Black that wasn't really about just homophobia. But they had everything in here that ran the gamut. I thought Coleman Domingo was great. I thought the cast was great. Obviously, the way they, you know, all the stuff in the background with the period piece, the clothing, the styles and stuff, was all that was giving. It just heavily relies on Coleman Domingo. I mean, I think Coleman Domingo was either in every scene or damn near every scene in this movie, because the other characters don't really have much life to them. There's not much three dimensions to the other characters, which could be, that's kind of a negative, but tells you, that's like LeBron assisted on every play in the fourth quarter and overtime against the Pistons. That's what you're watching when you watch Coleman Domingo carry this film. And looking around it's not that his cast was Booby Gibson, but you know what I mean. Like, no one was giving you a Coleman Domingo level performance. No one else ever rose to those levels to me. So yeah, period piece was dope. And let me think what else. Oh, runtime. I mean, I think this shit clocks in at, yeah, hour 45. I mean, they pretty much run through the whole thing, in quick succession, so if you're worried about your time being wasted, it won't be. It's just kind of like boom, boom, boom. Trying to think, was there anything else? It's the homophobia, it's the performances, and the runtime are the positives for me. Let's get to the negatives. So, unfortunately, even though Coleman Domingo is killing it, the movie kind of edits so fast. Like, I would say his character doesn't really feel that lived in. And the thing that they kind of added to the film, it seems, to make him more of a three-dimensional character was this white love interest guy, Tom. And I guess Tom never existed in real life. And he doesn't really add anything to the film for me. Like, there's a moment when Tom, like, and they never really define their relationship. They make it seem like it's okay that they're like having sex with other people at times, and then one time Tom comes home and he's mad and jealous that Coleman Domingo sleeping with a black dude who's on the down low and a preacher, and then the wife calls him and yeah, so that kind of stuff, the gay relationship stuff felt wedged in a way that didn't add or subtract to the plot. And I know they want to highlight that the character was gay, but it just, the scenes that really worked for that were not the scenes with the white love interest. It was the scenes with him and I think the character's name is Elias in like a speakeasy that is like an underground gay spot. And when, you know, the whole thing is like, don't get busted being gay as you're the architect for this march. And if you get busted, it'll be too salacious and it'll fuck up the whole march and everything. That kind of stuff was, I thought that it was better handled in scenes like that than the stuff with the white love interest. Oh shit, I forgot to mention for one of the positives, just the general hysteria around homosexuality too was, which we ain't even came that far from that shit, if we're being frank and honest. But it was not just the hysteria, but kind of like the Ava DuVernay movie about Martin Luther King, where it's about the women that get pushed to the sideline. That stuff comes up in this film too. And I actually thought that was really well done, that the homophobia and the misogyny and the second class citizens of it, and MLK kind of like turning his back on Rustin early in the film and letting him be ostracized and relegated out of activism because he was gay, and not standing with him, and then later having the temerity to stand with him, was actually really good and well done. And I just wanted to highlight that as a positive, because I thought, you know, that was actually pretty dope. Now, another thing that kind of hurts the film on the negative side, and it's nothing that film can do about this, but because we're in 2023, the stakes of them doing this march don't feel as compelling because we've seen so much shit now, and we know it happened. So I don't think the film is able to truly articulate how big a deal it is to do that march. And so at some point it becomes like an after school special of just watching Coleman Domingo motivate a bunch of young people into doing the march. You see what I'm saying? So it's not, you're not getting the, like, this is such a big undertaking and unprecedented. It's like, we know it's going to happen. It's happened multiple times since that. And maybe we needed a little bit more of the opposition to the march, because a lot of the opposition was very procedural opposition that Coleman Domingo was just able to like be like, fuck that shit. You know, like, a very, very few times in this film do you feel like afraid for Coleman Domingo, because Bayard Rustin as a character seems very unafraid, but also like the threats and intimidation aren't normally like physical threats at the by the time they're doing the march. Earlier in his career was when he was practicing nonviolence and got beat up and stuff. But in this part of the film, it's less of that. It's just more like, don't get caught out here in some type of underground club arresting. And mostly, will these other bureaucratic black people move the fuck out of my way so I can do this march? And I mean, I'm sure it happened and you feel bad for the fact that he's not one of the people that got to meet the president at the end because he is gay, essentially, and no one wanted to claim him. And as everyone kind of came around on like, damn, you did a hell of a thing. What a great job for the march. I feel like that third act doesn't deliver that in a way that is powerful enough. And he's kind of relegated to the sideline, which I guess he was in real life. But I kind of, you don't truly feel like he gets his moment of triumph. You get a moment of like satisfaction when he's like, it wouldn't matter if I was a garbage man. I said, I long as I can help my people. And he starts picking up trash at the end or whatever. So, yeah, I think also the film could have given us a flash forward to his, you know, older days of happiness going to live with his lover at the time, I guess, because you couldn't technically be husband, but you know, I think we could have got like a little, like, I think it would have done better with like a happy ending of some of his, like, and he got to kind of live a life where he was happy and contented and like, and went off into the sunset, as opposed to just, you know, the, it kind of ends and then gives you some writing, some post epilogue shit or whatever, like, and then he married this man and this person went on to do this. I thought those were kind of like some downfalls of the film. I also think some of the supporting cast performances are not as good and don't get as much time to stretch their legs to be good. You know, it's not that the actors couldn't do them, but you know, maybe Chris Rock could not. Like, Chris Rock as Roy Wilkins was not necessarily a stellar performance. But, I would have liked more Jeffrey Wright and more CCH Pounder, stuff like that. I think we could have gone a little further into that, you know. Even if we would have had moments where those characters, I think it would have really been cool if they fictionalized a couple moments, took out the white man lover, and fictionalized a couple more moments between those black characters where CCH Pounder and Bayard Rustin, where Dr. Anna Hedgerman, played by CCH Pounder, and Bayard Rustin, Coleman Domingo, are having it out, like privately, like going to an office and fight, you know, and fuss about, like, you are sidelining women, where are the women on this docket and all this shit, and that would have been dope. Adam Clayton Powell just straight up, like, you know, being homophobic and calling this man out to his face would have been dope. I think, like, really pushing the boundaries of, like, why Bayard Rustin was committed to nonviolence and how hard it was would have really done it. They had one scene where there was a white person that kind of gave him some grief, and then he had this moment where he was like, we go to church because, you know, to keep us from being violent so we can act out and all this shit. That was like a great scene. I wanted more scenes like that, you know, because I think the commitment to nonviolence is not some Gandhi shit. It's hard to do because it's really a commitment to being brutalized and all that stuff. But anyway, so that's not in the film. And I think it could have easily been in the film, and maybe it was cut, you know, maybe they thought this stuff wasn't serving, whatever. So at the end, I would rate this a 2 out of 5. Coleman Domingo is basically the main sole reason, and I do like that they highlighted the double standards of homophobia, but there's too much lacking here as far as just the characterizations of Bayard Rustin, like his life not feeling truly lived in. And just once the film decides that it's just gonna like skip around from moment to moment to moment to moment, it's kind of what happens when you say, hey, we can cut 15 minutes out this film, but you're cutting, to me, I'd cut the white dude lover, but instead they cut like the moments in between decision making and problem solving with the march. And it just happens at such a breakneck course and speed that it just, at that point, it's basically like a documentary or a like, you might as well be reading an audiobook, the way it's just giving you information and not really taking time to stop and show you. The best moments are when they stop and show you. It's when Colman Domingo can spread his legs and just fucking like go in that bar scene where he's talking about what it's like to be, you know, gay as a black man, as an activist in a society that hates gay people and in New York and stuff. That was, those moments are dope to me. But it's the, some of the other moments are just less consequential and less and too sped up. So all right, y'all, that's it. Thank you for listening. Appreciate y'all. Be back soon.